evening, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to another special draft day edition of Railbird Central. No, we are not here to break down a draft pick of the Green Bay Packers, but we are talking about a whole lot of training that went on. To do that, I've got Pro Football Draft Previews jersey, Al Bracco. Al, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine, Brian. Just trying to keep track of all these draft picks. How are you doing?
Yeah, you know what? Because I'm broadcasting, I got to close down Twitter. So I'm trying here to find a website that breaks down all of these trades so I can kind of rehash them here. But, I mean, just while I'm doing that, Al, what was your reaction to three day two trades?
Well, my reaction is that Ted is doing what he usually does, and if he's got a couple of players on his board that he thinks will be there five, six, seven, you know, seven spots down, he says, well, why not pick up an extra pick, and I'll get one of those guys anyway. You know, at the second round, I was all about running backs in the second round. I was convinced the Packers were going to take a running back. As it turned out, there was great value there at the end of the second half. Second round, you had Lacey, you had Franklin, you had Christian Michael. Yeah, Monty Ball. I'm getting the names mixed up. You know, Monty Ball went just before. So there were four running backs there that he thought would be at least two of them for sure waiting for him, and he was right. And he happened to get Eddie Lacy, which kind of surprises a lot of people, including me. But, hey, well, no one's going to complain about that. Then I think in the third round, it's the wide receivers that are in the spot. You had Quentin Patton. You had Stedman Bailey. You had Ryan Swope. You had Josh Boyce. You had a few other guys. So why not draft down again? Now, this time, however, I think he lost out on the one guy he really liked above all of them, which was Stedman Bailey. I think when Bailey goes to pick before him, your cohort there, Zach Cruz, said this on Twitter, and I agree 100%. When Bailey gets taken right before him, then Ted said, well, at this point, I can move down some more and still get somebody I like and accumulate some more picks, and that's what he's done. I don't think we're done. I think Trader Ted is not done. I think tomorrow you'll see him getting more fourth rounders or trying to get, you know, trade some of those later picks and pick up a couple of fourths.
Yeah, certainly they now have the ammunition to do so. And I'm right there with you, especially with the second round. There was so many backs available between Ball, Lacey, Franklin. If it wasn't Lacey, I thought it was Franklin. So, I'm in total agreement there, but with both the 49ers trades, it would appear they got the better of the Packers according to the old draft value chart. And again, some people might argue that that chart, at least the one I'm looking at, is outdated. Did Ted, you know, get hosed, if you will?
No, absolutely not. I mean, he got something for nothing, basically. You know, whatever he was able to get, he got something. I mean, the trade value chart, like you said, for years now, people are saying, you know, that's just for the fans. You know, teams don't really use that. And the argument I heard this year more than any, you can just throw that trade value chart out because, you know, there's just so much value in the middle rounds this year, you know, so you shouldn't have these big discrepancies between the value picks as you do on that chart. So, you know, without a doubt, this year you can throw that chart out. If he knows that he's going to get one of the guys he wants, why not pick up whatever the heck you can get? Why not?
So, you know, trying to break down this pick here, this recent trade to the Miami Dolphins, and by the way, it happens to be with someone the Packers have some familiarity with Joe Philbin, now the head coach there. The Packers give up their third round pick. What number? They had number, 88 overall?
Originally, yeah.
Originally. They gave up what was originally the 88th, now the 93rd, with the Miami Dolphins, and they get three choices in return. Obviously, Miami's closest pick, which is the 109th in the fourth round. They got a fifth rounder, 146th, and then a seventh, 224. Now, they seemingly did better trading with the Dolphins. They got more out of it than they did in the two previous trades, which were higher with the 49ers, though.
Yeah, but there was a bigger disparity. They dropped down more spots.
But still, they're getting the two picks extra, which I don't think quite add up. I just think they did better value-wise with the Dolphins.
They did. You know, I mean, you're trading with different teams, and you're not going to be able to get the same value all the time. You know, they were able to make a better deal for them this time around, without a doubt.
So, I don't know how much more I can break down trades here and values. I think we about covered it already. But going back to the second round pick here, what did you think of Eddie Lacy and how he'll fit into the Packers system?
Well, you know, going into this draft, I was convinced the Packers were going running back in second round. Never expected Lacy to be there. So I kind of put all of my focus on Jonathan Franklin, you know, and I thought that was the guy that they were going to target there. Never expected Lacy. The fact that he was there, well, you know, I kind of let my pre-draft thoughts get the better of me, and I was still hoping for Franklin. But when I think about it now, when I think about their current team, and I think about Duan Harris there, you know, I think Lacy and Duan Harris make the perfect complement to each other. You know, Lacy, you got the big bruising guy. He's patient. He picks his spots well. He doesn't go down easily. Then you bring in Harris, who's the fireball, you know, bundle of energy that just drives people crazy, and is a good receiver, can you know, be effective in the screen game. So I think they make a really nice complement. Of course, I'm discounting James Starks and Alex Green here, who might have something to say about that. But I like that combination of those two. The big question, of course, for the Packers is how serious are they about really running the ball?
And I'll give you an opportunity to answer your own question here. How serious are they about running the ball?
Right? I'm glad you asked. All off season, I've just been getting the feeling that they were actually serious this year about actually developing a running game, which is what kind of convinced me that they would be going for a running back early in the draft. You know, I just get this feeling just from the comments coming out of Green Bay, you know, Adam McCarthy, I just had a gut feeling that they were actually going to do this for once. So it was going to be more than just lip service, which it usually is. And I think one of the driving factors for that was all the sacks that Rodgers took again, you know? I mean, they weren't going to magically transform the offensive line in 1 year. You know, they might get a little help here or there, but you're not going to suddenly make the offensive line be something that it's not, you know? So I think looking at that, they said, you know, maybe this is the time we actually do develop a running game, take some of the pressure off of Rodgers and off of the offensive line, you know, so we can do more play action where people actually believe we might actually run the ball. So that's kind of been my feeling about that.
Okay, just, you know, we talked about the good things about Lacy here. What about the bad things? Are you worried about the hamstring injury? Are you worried about his work ethic in that, you know, the reports out of his pro day are that he looked out of shape? Do those things worry you?
Well, I mean, he was out of shape because he couldn't work out. You know, he was injured and he couldn't work out. He probably shouldn't even have tried to do the pro day at that time. He should, even though it had been delayed once, I think, and probably while he tried to go through with it, it was probably a mistake. You know, in hindsight, he's probably sorry he did that. I'm sure it cost him some money. you know, ending up down at the end of the second round. But I think once fully healthy, I don't know that I'm concerned about, you know, before this, you really haven't heard any concerns about his work ethic, you know, that he's lazy or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that it's a big concern for me.
So just recapping here briefly, the Packers now have 10 draft choices tomorrow, day three of the draft alone. They have two in the fourth, which are picks 109 and 122, three in the fifth, which are 146, 159, 167, two in the sixth, which are 173 and 193, and three in the seventh, which are 216, 224, and 232. Al, you mentioned it briefly. Did you think that they wanted Stedman Bailey in round three?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. What I know Zach Cruz did too. So what do you guys like about Stedman Bailey? I know he had 25 touchdowns. I do like that. But I guess my opinion is I thought the Packers maybe wanted a wide receiver that's a little bit bigger than 5'10". So what do you like about Stedman Bailey that overcomes the height concern?
Best route runner in the draft.
Okay.
Catches well with his hands. Tough guy. He's not tall, like you said. He's not a big guy, but he's tough. I had the one scout describe him to me as a Mack truck, Ram tough, is what he said. And you mentioned all the touchdowns. A large majority of those touchdowns came when they were in the red zone. You know, so he's a real weapon down there in that red zone. And a lot of them were catch and runs, you know, flares out into the flat there where he was able to catch the ball, make a couple of moves, and score a touchdown. You know, so I think he's perfect for what the Packers wanted, you know, the run after the catch guy. I just thought he fit perfectly.
So let me ask you this then. Did they make a mistake by trading with the 49ers when they could have gotten Stedman Bailey a couple picks earlier?
If you think that Stedman Bailey is what they really wanted, then in hindsight, yes, they did make a mistake.
So,
absolutely.
Are there other wide receivers, do you think, that they'll target maybe now in round four?
Well, if Quentin Patton is still there, that's got to be one.
Yeah.
I think maybe with one of their later round four picks, I really like Josh Boyce. Or perhaps Ryan Swope, one of those guys.
Okay.
But I think without a doubt, you're going to see a wide receiver with one of those picks in the fourth round.
Okay. I really like Kobe Hamilton out of Arkansas, so he's...
Is he a fourth rounder, you think?
I think he's a fourth rounder. I think he could be a second rounder, in my humble opinion. I think he's way underrated. I think he got lost on a bad team there at Arkansas. And, I mean, his yards per catch were just incredible. He's got speed, and he was behind all those. You know, Arkansas had three wide receivers drafted last year. I think he was just kind of, you know, caught in the shuffle a little bit.
Lost back there, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think he's great. I mean, I'd love to see him or Patton. I like Patton, too. So, Packers have, 10 picks tomorrow. What else, other than wide receiver, we just broke that down quite a bit. What's the next biggest need remaining on the team?
Well, it's got to be your spot there, Brian. It's got to be safety, right?
Yeah, I think it's up there. This point, I don't know if you're getting an upgrade over Jerron McMillan anymore. I'm high on Earl Wolfe, but after him, the difference might be negligible.
Did Philip Thomas go?
He has not.
Okay. That's one possibility. How do you feel about him?
You know, he's a ball hawk. I am not sold on him. I think if you take away his game against a bad Colorado team in which he had three picks in one game, he doesn't look quite as good. Three picks and two touchdowns, by the way. He doesn't look quite as good if you take away that one big productive game.
That's a heck of a game there, no
it
doubt.
Was. I mean, that's a National Player of the Week type of game, but for a safety. But, yeah, I'm not big on him, but I do agree he is an interception machine.
Okay. Let's see, who else? Well, J.J. Wilcox went just before the Packers picked there. Would you have considered him a big upgrade?
Yeah, I probably would have. You know, just the size-speed combination is intriguing. And I think maybe you want to share this. You had shared with me on Twitter just some thoughts from a scout on Wilcox. What were they?
Well, believe it or not, his comments were that he thought he would turn out to be the best safety that comes out of this draft.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, a pretty bold statement, you know. I mean, I've watched tape of Wilcox, and, you know, I kind of liked what I saw, but I didn't see that type of talent. On the other hand, you know, he has only played a position 1 year. And, you know, this guy's a professional scout. He can probably look beyond that and see, you know, from a physical standpoint, what he's capable of and project. And I'm sure that's what he's doing, projecting. But, you know, that certainly impressed me to have him say something like that.
Yeah, it's interesting because a guy like me, I mean, how much film on J.J. Wilcox could I have gotten my hands on? Not very much. So,
right, not a lot.
You know, yeah, so I saw very little of J.J. Wilcox, but, you know, saw enough of him from the Senior Bowl in the one, maybe two games I got on draftbreakdown.com on J.J. Wilcox. But before we wrap things up, what do you think about center, though? What do you think about first of all, let's start with the discussion on Evan Dietrich Smith. What's your opinion on him?
Okay, well, before we switch positions, there's just one other name, one other safety name I want to bring up is Cooper Taylor. The same scout gave me that Cooper Taylor as one of his sleepers in this draft. I know very little about him, to be honest, but he seemed to like him as a later round sleeper, fourth, fifth round.
Yeah, you know, the only place I ever saw anything from Cooper Taylor was the East-West Shrine game, and
right.
I did watch him, and I wasn't impressed, so I kind of dismissed it. But again, I'm basing my whole opinion on one All-Star game in which he played maybe half the game. So I admittedly don't know much. But, yeah, getting to the offensive line here, because center, I think, is a hot-button topic, what do you think of Evan Dietrich Smith?
To me, he's just a stopgap, you know. He's not the guy that you're going to go move forward with, and I think that's why he only got a one-year contract from the Packers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think now with all these picks, you'll definitely see a center taken. You know, I think Schwenke is still available, right?
Yep.
Schwenke's still available. Jones is still available. The guy from USC, Khalid Holmes, mm-hmm. is still available. So I think fourth round, very possible, those are the three positions you're seeing, is wide receiver, safety, and center.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think those guys are an upgrade over Evan Dietrich Smith?
Eventually, yes, without a doubt. Maybe not as a rook, maybe not as rookies, but eventually in 1 year, definitely.
And just one more guy I'll pick your brain on here because – there's one guy I know that you and Pigskin Paul kind of went back and forth about because is he an interior lineman or is he a tackle? And that's David Quessenberry of San Jose State.
Thank you for bringing him up. Yep.
He's still available. And am I right? We had him at tackle in our draft guide, right?
Yeah, we put him in at tackle. At the Senior Bowl, they did move him to center, they moved him to guard, and everywhere he went, he did perfectly fine. He's a real technician, you know. I heard one guy say, whoever taught this guy his blocking techniques did a tremendous job. He's so sound, which is why he can play any of the five positions on the line. And thank you for reminding me of him, because he's been my pick for the Packers in the fourth round. For a long time, because you get one guy that can, at worst, be your super sub, fill in at any spot. At best, he wins a starting position somewhere, at center, or maybe left, maybe he's good enough at left tackle, you know. So without a doubt, I'd love to see him on the Packers.
Do we think he, I mean, just off the cuff, is he a tackle?
I think he could handle it. I think he's so sound technique-wise, and he's got good feet. I think that, you know, he played left tackle for 3 years. I think he potentially could handle it. I don't think he's a walk-in and start first year, you know, tackle. Mm-hmm. But that's why we finally decided to keep him as offensive tackle, because that's really what he's played, and I think he's capable.
Yeah, perhaps. I know Rob Domofsky of the Green Bay Press-Gazette wrote an article on David Quessenberry. He actually interviewed him. Packers apparently interested, at least that's what they said. I'm sure he'd say that about any team, but anyway.
Yeah.
Any last thoughts before we part ways here, Al?
No. What about surprise picks? Now that they have all these picks, you think they're going to take a quarterback maybe?
Oh, wow. Well, with 10 picks, I mean, you got to think at some point they're going to move up and not make 10 selections tomorrow. But, I mean, even so, even if they move up a handful of times, you're still talking 8 picks.
Yeah.
I mean, 7 picks. They're going to draft almost every position. But, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing them grab a quarterback. I'm kind of high on Landry Jones of Oklahoma myself. Who's a guy you like?
I'm no expert on the quarterbacks, you know, so I'm not going to pretend to like anybody, but I will give you a name that the same scout gave to me, and he said Ryan Griffin.
Out of Tulane.
Does that one ring a bell?
Yep. Out of Tulane.
Out of Tulane, yeah. Again, I really know nothing about him, but he thought that the Packers would be very interested in him.
Interesting. As I remember, and again, I didn't spend a whole lot of time, but I think this Griffin kid, he's really big, I thought. Kind of a big, stocky kind of quarterback, which is kind of interesting.
Okay.
I'd have to look it up. But
anyway. Yeah, I really don't know, to be honest.
But that's interesting. A scout told me that to you. But anyway. Al, I'm pretty sure at some point tomorrow we'll talk again. The Packers will take either a tackle or a outside linebacker. I hope with 10 picks they'll address one of those positions tomorrow. So we'll chat again later, all right?
All right, sounds good.
All right, take care.
All right, Brian, thanks. Take care.
Jersey L. Bracco joining us on a special draft day edition of Railbird Central here at CheeseheadTV.com. No more Packers picks tonight, but we got 10 of them tomorrow. Here we go. Thank you, Wisconsin Rob, bringing up his stats. 6'3", pretty tall quarterback, and 216 pounds. I guess maybe not quite as stocky as I had thought at 216 pounds, but tall at 6'3". We'll see. Name to keep an eye on tomorrow. Obviously, probably a late round prospect, but you never know. Not a good program there at Tulane. But Packers took the Desmond Moses out of there yet last year, and you know, for an undrafted guy, found a pretty good player. You know, at the very minimum, they're going to sign an undrafted free agent quarterback. So maybe even if they don't draft one, they're guarantee they're going to go that route, you know, with rosters at 90 guys. There's nothing to lose with signing someone, but you're just going to want a training camp and mini camp arm, actually. So, but that'll do it for tonight, folks. Thank you so much for making Cheesehead TV one of your draft day resources. Again, after every round tomorrow, we'll come on air. With 10 picks, I'm not going to come on air after every pick, but after every round or, you know, the last pick in a round, something like that, we'll come back on, we'll break down what the Packers got, and we'll see what their haul is tomorrow. But the newest member of the Green Bay Packers, Eddie Lacy. So you can have dreams of the Packers, dreams of a running big running back running through your heads. If I could make some sort of Night Before Christmas song here, but I'm I'm stumbling and doing a poor job. But we'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack Go. On behalf of Jamie Jorres and everybody here at Cheesehead TV, we'll see you later. I leave you today with a song called Rosie by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Here we go.